And we can go ahead. So we are recording now. So hello everyone again in our weekly JavaScript call. And I'm gonna share my screen with agenda. Where is it? Here it is. Okay, so yeah, can you see my screen with meeting notes?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so yeah, I just like removed a lot of stuff from the agenda from last times to keep it like straightforward, and maybe we can even end it sooner than usually. And yeah, we don't have to go too much like deep in discussions, as Timo suggested, and I agree with him. So yeah, I leave WebSockets in here, but I don't want to go into too deep in this topic, but just wanted to give you some update. I mainly described it in the issue or in the pull request. Yeah, I realized that it would be better to maybe first do some updates before adding WebSockets. And it's mainly about update like transporters. I prepared some changes, but before I do another pull request with that, maybe I will do more or different ones, because this could be maybe even better first change to do, like take it from the Git doc. And I kind of ignored that information in the past and the implementation. Yeah, I think that's basically all what I would like to share with you, if you have any questions. So the plan is to, yeah, basically this is the plan, like to change the implementation a little bit in the area of how we are making connection with Mediator. And it's highly related to the current implementation of like HTTP transporters. So yeah, that would be like the first step. And I see maybe I will also change that taking the endpoints from the Git doc, as I just said. And this is basically necessary to add WebSockets. Because and it's a question if we want to like rely on HTTP for like connection with Mediator, but I think I can imagine it's convenient to have both options. So, and if we do this change, if we do it like more asynchronous, we can then update to WebSockets even for the initial connection with Mediator. So yeah, that's the first change. And another change would be probably with these endpoints taken from the document.
I know what the mediation on the what ACCPI we've done there is the implicit style over WebSockets. So I think going for that is wise. And potentially, I know Sam has wanted to revisit the batch pickup protocol and how that works for explicit mediation. So potentially what could happen there is have additional conversation around the explicit way before we go and implement that, if that makes any sense, or revamp how we do that, if that makes any sense.
I'm not sure if any of the other frameworks has implemented the pickup protocol. Yeah, maybe the .NET, but they use a custom protocol, so not really. We don't get a lot of benefit from taking that into account. So yeah, maybe implicit will be nice then.
So I'm basically agreeing with you, Jakub, on your thought process here. Worth bringing up that one of the been working one of we've had a client need for WebSockets for a use case. And so I took your branch and I actually started, I took that and used that as a base point to try and do some WebSocket work. So doing pieces are rough because some of it's rough because I was just trying to go fast on it, but got it. So I was utilizing endpoints from the DIT doc, selecting from the services based off of priority with a preference towards WebSockets, and got that working. Some of it's rough. I think the biggest thing that I took as a takeaway from that is trying to identify what is there a place in which we have what our goals are around transports and such. Outlining that might be helpful going forward. That's a lot of information, sorry.
So do you have any like suggestions where we should go with the implementation based on your implementation?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing to nail down from my point of view is the idea of, and I think you're aligned on this, but the idea of having essentially transports as a pluggable system so that you can have, for instance, a WebSocket transport that can be created on an as-needed basis, an HTTP transport, and we can create a Bluetooth transport as needed. And so based off of the protocol in the service, it will identify the correct transport and then create a instance of that. We might be aligned on that thought process, but I figured, and I think the second thing that I'm a little bit unsure on is the idea of sending and receiving, or the send and receive message, and the idea of doing how we're handling the return process there internally in our implementation. I think I'm not 100% clear on what the vision is there.
That's a good point, because actually that's like I see two issues still in the idea I have. And the first one, so maybe I just reiterate what I mean by this. It means that right now we have like send and receive, so we are expecting a response in here and then processing it with inside this, you know, function and unpacking the message and processing it. If we do it like send message and then like the rest of the connection will be handled by handlers and by, you know, it should be handled by inbound transport. So it should start there, not like process it in here, but it should go to the inbound and then process it and wait until it's connected. However, you would need to say that you want to have the like return route parameter set in this call. So I thought that right now I am like creating requests, but I even thought that I can go farther and accept invitation, just accept invitation and that would be all. But I would need to indicate in this point that I would like to return route. So my idea, my first idea is to put another parameter to accept invitation function that in this call, in this acceptation of invitation, I want to add also return route, because I expect it without that, it won't work for the like connection, initial connection with the mediator.
Mm-hmm.
In other case, if I'm accepting invitation from other side or like from Bob, if I say from other edge agent, I don't want to have like return route set. You know, I just want to set HTTP request to his mediator and that's all. And I don't care. And I get the response via my mediator. So my idea is just to put it here as we have like auto accept parameter. As you edit, maybe something like that there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I am not sure where to put it.
maybe we can do it a bit more generic on a higher level, that before sending a message, we check the connection associated with a message, and we check, because we also store our own DITDOC, and we check if we have shared endpoint with them. And if we only have shared the DITCOM queue endpoint, we will add return routing. And
cool. Yeah, that could, yeah. So I will look at this idea if it's, that would be nice if it's, yeah, it sounds like it should be possible.
We can also directly set it on the message. So on the con rec message that you get from create request, you can add return routing.
Yeah. But you know, I said that I would like to, you know, hear just if it's in this case, that's right. But I wanted to do like just accept invitation, you know, just that more high level even function as we have it there.
Yeah.
So, right, this is like more like deeper level of calling this service. So, and then you have like message and you can do something with that. But if we call just accept invitation, we wouldn't care about even about this, you know, sending messages. It should like be implemented within the accept invitation, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's good. And another problem is with download messages. Maybe I can show it in here. I'm not sure if I have it, but unbound send and receive message. Yeah, I would need to see sender. Yeah, here it is. So I edit here like that's like simplest possible implementation. Just you know, in this way I'm sending message, I don't expect anything, but in this way I need to add that parameter return route. This I would call in the case, as you Timo said, with the queue endpoint, maybe in the caller of this method. And I still have this send receive here for the download of messages, because if you download messages, you need to unpack message, and then you have like array of messages which you should put like to agent to process it.
But couldn't we better, like with the other messages, make a batch message handler that does that, and then dispatches them to the rest of the agent? Because I think that's a flaw in the design currently, how we implement this. They could, if you send a batch pickup, they could respond with a problem report, for example.
That's right. That's right. So that's something we need to address. And first idea is, as you said, like at handler, but that then I'm not sure how it would look like in here, you know, that we would return like more inbound messages instead of outbound message. You know, that's like, I'm not sure if this is like correct place. If we have like another handler, we would need to put this batch message in here, like batch response, handle it, you know, in handler, and then handler would unpack the message and what to do with these inbound messages, you know. So my idea was, maybe if, like, you know, first idea or like second, this was the first, like return inbound messages in here. The second idea is to have some like message queue or something like that, and that handler would like dispatch messages to that queue, and the agent would listen to this queue and receiving the messages from this queue. So that was another idea how to implement that.
I think in the end, like the queue approach is, so I think it's somewhat the same as calling, letting the handler. So you have, so we receive the batch message, the batch response, and it will go to the dispatch. Then it will be passed to the correct handler. The handler will then extract the messages from the thing, and then call the dispatch method again for all of the messages. So we get like a nested thing, but I think having it in a queue would be better. So we have like a queue and then it can take, take messages off the queue to handle it. Yeah.
When I meant also the vwoot at the handler. I missed that, but I agree.
Yeah, no,
at the handler and message queue would be that just like another like part of the implementation. Yeah, sorry, James.
It's also worth mentioning though, with implicit mediation, you would be since you have an active WebSocket connection, you're just essentially receiving one. I believe it's a forward message at that point to be unpacked, I think it's a forward message you're receiving at that point. So it just gets streamed down, which I think would just be handled in the normal processing manner for implicit, at least.
So yeah, we don't have to tackle this problem at the moment if we're gonna use implicit. We just should, and that's not possible at the moment. Allow. Transport, because I think it can only return a single message at the moment. It should allow for a stream of messages.
Yeah. Yep.
And by implicit like mediation or routing, you mean that you wouldn't, like as a mediator, you would just pass the message to HHM without unpacking it, or
the idea between implicit and explicit is that explicit you're going to say, hey, I would like all the messages or 10, 50 that you have
I see.
For me. Well, implicit, the way we've been kicking that off so far is you send a trust ping with return root all to set up the WebSocket connection. And then when it receives a message, it says, oh, I have a open WebSocket connection. I'm just going to send that down. This is implicit because they haven't explicitly asked for this.
Yeah.
But it's, they're sending it down.
Yeah. Okay. But it would be unpacked, that message. Otherwise, you wouldn't know where to send it, of course. It would be an unpacked message.
I'm a little fuzzy right now on this.
Maybe. Or would it be packed again? Timo, what do you think?
Well, I think it receives, the mediator receives a packed messages, it impacts it, and in that unpacked message is another packed message. And that's packed, that's forwarded packed, so it can't see the contents of the message.
So that's the reason why I don't want to implement this queue right now. So that's the reason why I would suggest to keep it as it is for the download part. Update maybe this return, transports and that did doc maybe, and then move to WebSockets and then maybe remove this and add message queue for that. That's my suggestion how to progress with implementation. What do you think, guys?
I'm not. So, do you mean then, like, go with the implicit method or keep the batch pickup in place?
I would keep like that batch pickup in place. Or.
I think that's I think I agree with that one with James. I don't think Akapai has implemented batch pickup, so to be able to work with Akapai at the moment, we should do the implicit method. And I think it also it's I think from the recipient side, it's less work because we don't have to like start an interval to like send a message to pick up the messages. From maybe the mediator side, it's a bit more complex because we need to track the open connections and see whenever we receive a forward message for one of those connections, we should like, yeah, check, do we currently have a connection or a WebSocket connection open for this connection?
Okay, maybe I meant for HTTP transport layer. I don't mean for WebSockets. Like this, you know, if you don't have WebSockets, you need to somehow get the messages. And I think currently this download message, like with batch pickup, is only way how to do it. Or maybe is that, maybe there is another option, but I don't know about that one.
You can do it with HTTP, where but you can only get one message in response. So for connecting and all that stuff, that's still enough, because you sent a message, you receive a message, you sent a message, you receive a message. For other use cases, it won't be like, if your main transport is going to be HTTP for inbound, then a batch pickup has more benefits.
So what message I sent with this without batch pickup protocol implemented on the mediator side? Is it in the protocol defined somewhere? So route coordination, I'm not sure if it's this or this.
It'll be in route coordination, yeah. If I understand the question correctly, from the recipient, you send a trust ping with return root all, and that's what kicks off the implicit sending of messages. Is
it just trust ping? Or because I think that for example the picker protocol defines a no op message to do it also. Do you know if Akapai like does it only listen to trust ping or?
I don't exactly know off the top of my head, but I believe it's likely that what we're really doing with the trust ping is just establishing a WebSocket connection with return root all. So I think the no op would also work for that purpose.
Yeah, it's just authenticating to the other agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I'm not sure like we can implement it, but it sounds like, you know, this is the way how Akapai does it. And
I think it's the thing is, like, even if we are going to add WebSocket connections, if we still keep the pickup protocol, it means that whenever a message is received, we still need to explicitly ask the mediator, like, give me the new messages. It just then we can keep using the same channel. And mm-hmm. the big bonus of using the implicit method is that whenever the mediator receives a message, it will just forward it directly. So that's, I think,
with WebSockets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem, I think.
So that's like, the same thing we're talking about then, or?
Like, yeah, with WebSockets, you don't need this one.
No, but I think it's not necessarily a WebSocket thing. It's just a transport thing. And with WebSocket, you can do it multiple times, in which HTTP only once.
Okay. So maybe it's like a lot of stuff to like, we are trying to put a lot of stuff together, maybe. So what I'm suggesting is that, you know, I don't want to change everything in one step. That's what I'm suggesting, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just discard like three steps, how I would like to move forward with this. And that's all. I'm not saying that I want to have it here, this method for like forever. I'm just, you know, saying that the first step would be this update, the doc. The second step would be WebSockets. And the last step could be changing this one according that trusting stuff, maybe.
Maybe we can.
Last thing would be that message queue. you know, that message queue would replace this part, this method. That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Okay, so you say you want to do those four steps first and then move to the implicit way of receiving messages.
Like, I don't know. It will be part of the solution already. It's hard to say for me right now. Like, you know, that's other topic. Even like, you know, we are trying to put in inside this. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we can discuss it maybe in the issues or pull requests.
Yeah, maybe we can. I'm not sure if there's already an issue for it, but like open an issue with the four steps you mentioned, and so we have like an overview of like what the roadmap is for this WebSocket implementation.
One of my last thoughts on that would be helpful with verbal discussion on this subject is the idea of having a transport for inbound and outbound, which makes a lot of sense for when you're talking about like WebSockets, for instance. Because currently there's the idea of the inbound transport and then an outbound transport. Is that something we're still married to, or is that or maybe that's too implementation specific to talk about at the moment, but.
No, like inbound outbound transporters are there just as like first idea how to implement it. You know, because inbound transport is really outside of the framework. Outbound transport is just some function you need to call if you want to send message from agent. So that's something which agent needs to know about. But it doesn't have to know about inbound transport necessarily, I think.
I think it can be, I think it's good to internalize the inbound transporters. I think that's like making some opinions. I mean, people can always implement their own if they're not happy with the thing. Do you mean like we now have the concept of inbound outbound transporters and you want to remove those concepts and make it more like transporters? Or I think a main thing to keep make the distinction is that's a big difference between hosting a server or interacting with a server.
I guess my thought process when I was actually working on the implementation piece is that it made a lot more sense to me to store all of the context and, like, for instance, be able to store a class that contained the WebSocket that was opened. And that is how I send and receive messages for that WebSocket. Having two different classes that then interact with that socket seems a little bit messy, but maybe I'm incorrect on that front.
I agree that the naming is a bit unfortunate because an outbound transporter can be an inbound transporter just as well. I think the difference in concept is, are we the one connecting to a server or are we the one that hosts a server? And that's, I think, mainly the part with WebSockets and HTTP. I think with Bluetooth, you have less of the concept, necessarily the hosting. So we could split it, but I think one thing that I would like to keep is to make a clear distinction between the hosting party and the client party. So for example, in a mobile agent, we don't want to do anything with an Express server. Because we can't do anything with it. So I think those concepts should be separate.
Can you further elaborate on what the differences in your, from your point of view, between the client and the server side from a transport perspective? What distinguishes the two from each other, you know?
First thing is that on the server side, you have like different sockets, I guess, connected to you. But you can actually have more sockets on the client side. But I think in the web sockets, you distinguish between client and server. So maybe that would also differ, like be difference in the implementation.
Yeah, I think like if I look at it from a mobile agent perspective, I want to be able to like configure that I don't want to host a server, but I do want to be able to use WebSockets and HTTP transports. Well, on a Node.js side, I want to host the servers and be able to. So that's basically, but it's a bit of an unfortunate name. Because it's more of like a client and host on like the interaction instead of just an outbound transporter, because with the return route that the concept can be like turned around.
And I think you're exactly right that it threw me for a second, the name piece there, because it's really about one, you're hosting, the other you're just connecting, and
yeah. I agree
so
with you.
You want to keep the separation of the idea of having, have two different interfaces or classes, one for hosting and then one for being a client, or do you think that they overlap enough that you could, for instance, have optional parameters or such for the hosting side?
I'm not sure. I think they're very distinctive. Mainly looking at it from like, if we ever decide to like make the framework not just one package, but like a combination of multiple things, then I think there's a real distinction in who want to use the server part of it or the client part of it. If you think there's a lot of overlap, I think the way you handle things between like being the client or the server is very different. But if you don't think so, that's I'm open to like change it. Of course.
No, I think I'm actually starting to see, I'm starting to see your point of view of that they are somewhat different things. So then do you think if you are a server and you are hosting a WebSocket endpoint and that configuration is part of that transport, do you think it's a separate transport to communicate with another server then that's outbound as a client in that case then essentially?
Yeah, I think so. And it's, you could do it like, if you already have the server part, I think it's easy to do the other part, combined, but then it will be harder to use it separately from, I think, only the client part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. Because if you are acting as a server, so I guess if you have the capability of having a base transport class, and then you can extend for the, at least for the server side, then that allows to store all of them so that you can then identify, do I have a WebSock connection, for instance, open with this endpoint already for this connection? And whether or not it was initiated from a server side or from a client transport, either will work.
yeah, maybe that's indeed a good one to so we can attract, like, make a generic transport that can be used for both inbound outbound transporters, and that can just contain information about, like, the connection it belongs to, and like, if we at the moment have an open connection that we can send something to, or if it's meant for, yeah, so it, for example, if you have an open WebSocket connection as a server or as a client, you can always start a new connection. So such information to store that, I think that would be nice. So we have like one implementation that has just a generic interface to see how can we send the message. And then it will take some implementation on the transport level, but from everywhere else in the framework, it will just be the concept of transport, and you can either send messages or you can receive messages, but it's the same.
Definitely. One, I think that lines up well with how Aries was designed, because it's intended to be transport agnostic, and so I think that aligns with that vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking into implementations, and it looks quite similar. This is like client side, and this is like server side. So this one, for example, is quite the same. So that's something which could be, you know, shared. Yeah, maybe also other parts. But this is like one, like two transport together. So that will be eventually, you know, separate, like totally separate. So then maybe it will be the same for both. Yeah. Hard to say.
Yeah. So okay. I think.
Go for it, Tino.
Yeah, I think a lot of different concepts are at play here, with the transport and a mediator, and they're all integrate very closely. So yeah, maybe as we mentioned earlier, we should create that issue and maybe like put some context in there about like the different concepts and how we can abstract the transports, maybe create even some nice diagram or something to make it a bit more visual. But yeah, because I think it's if we like start working on this separately, it should be good to have like a very good description of like how the overall architecture should be defined.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I had on that.
Okay. Next point. Timo, I think we discussed that, but I just leave it here because I wasn't sure if is there anything else you would like to talk about regarding this stuff?
No, I would I would open an issue in this repo to put what we discussed. So I'll write it on my I didn't write it down this time. So I'll write it down and I'll create an issue. I think that's enough for now.
Okay. And the last point, James, I have a question. I want to remind about the issue with libindi, if you remember. I guess you told me that you know someone who solved this. Do you know what is it about?
Which error is this one? Sorry.
It's with the React Native 62 version and higher. There is an issue with libindi and 0MQ. Zero MQ library. So yeah,
This is something that I was actually planning on starting to tackle this following week. I'm not exactly perfectly sure what is what they have done in their implementation that allows it to work, so my thought process of how to tackle this was have one of the members of my team look into what's what they have done, what's different, And then someone from their team that has actually implemented that is interested in participating and helping with the open source community. So I'm going to talk with them to see if they can help with the effort to make allow us to get to probably at least 0.63.4. It would be my help. So, so I guess I don't exactly know specifically what is the reasoning behind it. I think one of the things that I had potentially had found previously was there may be issues with Flipper, which is part of the React configuration. But I think having us be able to dig into that would be the right course of action there. And I can communicate some of that in this issue, if that's helpful.
Yeah, that would be great. And if there is some Artem described it quite a lot of information about that. And the issue is probably about not the issue. We think issue could be solved by update, like building libind with a higher version of NDK. Then it's question what's the impact to other libraries like that 0MQ and other native libraries, because they are also, I think, built with the same NDK. I am really on like thin ice right now because that's like my level of understanding of this stuff. But I think we tried to update that and like NDK version, but we weren't successful with that. But if you have more information, if you have some idea what to try, at least we can eventually help with that too.
Awesome. Because as far as I know, in their implementation, they are just using libind as is currently packaged 1.15, I believe they're on.
Really?
They had a repackage. They had a package libind for iOS, obviously, because they weren't able to utilize what you guys have put together for that. But
do they have like Android implementation? Because this is this is related only to Android. You know, this is on iOS. It works fine, but the problem is just on Android.
When I ran into this problem, we were only Indicio was only focusing on Android, so I wasn't sure if this was actually
okay.
So they have Android at 0.63. I think on 1 or something or 2.
Cool.
So what I would say is we can dig into it. We'll try and put what we find in this thread and probably bring this up potentially as a talking point for next week would be my thought process.
That would be awesome. Yeah, this is like, I would say this is like very, very hard problem right now. And it the solution would be so much welcome by the whole community around Aries and React Native.
Agreed.
Yes,
yeah. When I saw that they had 0.63, I was like, wait, I got really excited.
I would be also like surprised. Cool. Okay, so that's all from points in our agenda. Do you have anything else you would like to discuss today?
I had two things if available. One on the RNND SDK. I was wondering if we could do another release, because right now we have to the pieces to do presentations is not currently in part of the 0.1.8 that was released. So,
okay, I thought it.
We're happy to help with any of this stuff of getting that actually to NPM and release and stuff if it's helpful. So.
Is that I think the PR with for prover search credentials? That's not released yet.
Yeah, you mean in RNND SDK? What's there which is not released yet?
Yeah.
Well, so because I know.
I will do release, no problem. Like today, tomorrow latest.
Perfect. Thank you. I guess related on that note, I'm wondering if it would be beneficial to do what are your thoughts on doing a release for AFJ? So it doesn't necessarily have to be even an 0.1, it could be just an 0.0.1. So something where we can start being able to tie to a specific release may be helpful also from the mobile perspective of rather than having a TJZ file that isn't necessarily super well tied to a specific commit, could help from that perspective.
I started with, I think I have it almost finished, just didn't get around to make a pull request to have a GitHub action to do a manual release so we can from the actions do a manual release. I thought for starters that's fine, and I thought we can just start with something like a 0.0.1 because I also noticed it's just something, it's very inconvenient to do the whole packing process and manual adding of the thing and just having a even if it's just not stable a released version. I think that will be nice.
Awesome. Yep. Good to hear.
I will see. I don't know if Hyperledger, does Hyperledger have an NPM account? I'm not sure if we should we call it like at Hyperledger / Airsvein with JavaScript or just Airsvein with JavaScript?
That's a good question. I lean towards just Aries Framework JavaScript, but as the packages increase, it could be beneficial to have at Hyperledger to kind of have a umbrella around them.
I would also prefer like just Aries Framework JavaScript, right? At least right now.
And then Aries Framework?
Who knows what happened with Hyperledger in the future?
But with the JavaScript in the name then, because you see the repo is called with JavaScript, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to put JavaScript in an npm package name because so you would just import the Aries framework.
That's a good question.
I think from my point of view, it makes the most sense to also include JavaScript, even though it's in NPM, being able to search up, if you search Aries framework in Google, that's not going to get you much. But if you search Aries framework JavaScript, that'll get you the actual repo that you're NPM installing.
Makes sense.
On the other side, if you search NPM Aries framework, then I guess you would get good results. You know, I usually, because, and it this is problem with more projects, but I think even if it's problem with this naming, like with other projects, I think it's still not such a big problem to search like NPM and that specific, you know, because if I say like NPM whatever, then I'm like pretty sure that I will get like JavaScript implementation of that, like, I have to say like area or I don't know. So Aries, if I look for like NPM Aries, if I look for Aries framework, I have to say, but I like, I'm in favor like shorter and simpler naming, but as I said, it's a good question because I would like if I'm working with the JavaScript framework as a developer, I would like to import something from Aries framework and not Aries framework JavaScript. On the other hand, I don't like that I have some package named Aries framework and then the repo is called Aries framework JavaScript because I just, we are using one package for React Native, and there is a difference for NPM name and for repo name, and it's a little bit like confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I get used to that, so I don't have like problem right now, but yeah.
From my point of view, I think I feel like the name issue is greater in terms of know what you're working with and then be able to search up the documentation for that, find the repo for that. To me, outweighs the benefit of having a slightly shorter name for your import, I guess, is from my point of view.
Yeah.
But I agree, it's a little bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely weird if you have to say, like, in your JavaScript code, you have to like say you want to import library JavaScript. But this is just one like point of view, you know, like or like usage of this phrase or of this name. So that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. I guess a little bit of forward thinking, if you have it might give additional context because let's say at some point someone wants to do a React Native specific library, for instance, that doesn't use AFJ, their naming convention probably would utilize the name React Native in it. So for instance, all React Native or a lot of React Native projects utilize React Native in their package name, I guess. So JavaScript doesn't make quite as much sense as that, but it may be a parallel thought.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. That you have projects with React Native in there, in the name.
But in that case, I think most packages, from what I see, is like if you have a platform specific one, you append the platform, and in other cases, you just don't use the platform or anything.
Yeah, that's right. Because you know, if I'm working with React Native and there is some package which is just JavaScript without dependency to the native code, you just import that package. So you and our goal is to have just JavaScript implementation. So if you are working with some, you know, JavaScript libraries in React Native, you just import also that library as it is without React Native because it's general implementation. So maybe that would suggest like to keep it like React, Aries framework.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you are working with something like React Native specific, you would call it React Native because it's the convention in the ecosystem.
Let's do a vote, maybe. Like with the reactions, we have yes, no, just easy. Then we All right. So yes is include JavaScript. No is don't include JavaScript.
Okay, but right. How I don't know how to do this.
Oh,
I'm like beginner.
In the bottom user. You have reactions. Maybe if you are not full screen.
Well, and he's sharing his screen.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I have like different view right now. So,
We all voted, so you can say your vote.
My vote is no.
Ah, oh, okay. It's 2-2. All right.
Come on.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just create a PR for the package I'm really unbiased, so I'm not sure how we should decide on this.
Yeah.
I this is not a hill that I'm like going to die on. Like, I think doing Aries framework is fine. So from my point of view, the documentation makes like, if I'm going to search up just the, when I go to search up a package, I'll just search the package. And so for me, that makes the most sense, but I'm also not going to die on that hill. So
yeah.
And you know what I hate? I hate to call it like Aries framework JavaScript, because I say Aries JavaScript framework. It's like more convenient to me. You know, it's like Aries JavaScript framework, but it's called Aries framework JavaScript because of the hyperledger convention. And that I have problem with that. So I like, I'm like angry, but I have problem to talk about that, you know, that's like, yeah, so maybe.
I refer to it by AFJ personally, so.
Yeah, and then you have AFJ, okay. yeah, I think I will probably end it in this point, right? Maybe we can leave it to future Timo, James, Pablo, and Jakub, at least for a few days. Okay, so yeah, we'll end here. Thank you guys for being here. Have a nice Friday and nice weekend, and see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.